Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk some of the latest Disney news and rumors, and we're going to preview a little bit of our trip reports. We have a lot to discuss. That's coming up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everybody, to episode 408 of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam. I am your host this week, and I am joined today by John.
Are you sure? You didn't sound like you were. You were ready to think about it.
Yeah, I had to see.
Oh, okay.
Who's that man behind the mirror? It's been a while. Behind the mirror, behind the curtain.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yeah. Is that you?
I've always wished that the original idea for the Great Movie Ride would have come to fruition.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been involved, you know.
Right. More involved than it was.
There would have been a person behind the curtain, and it would have been your tour guide. Whichever one you got, whether it was the Western one or the gangster one.
Right. Instead of the Disturb the Treasure of the Gods.
Right. Well, they still had that, but they would come back, see, at the end. Like, the ending was supposed to be this grand, like, you meet the wizard type thing, and then your side, whichever side you're on, the person that was behind it was supposed to be your villain person, or I guess, or whatever, whichever one you had earlier.
Even though they got disintegrated into a skeleton?
Well, they didn't really. Okay. They were supposed to make sure that they were okay, right?
Oh, I see. It's all part of the show.
Exactly. So,
yeah, we can talk some news. Disney news. I'd say the biggest story was this thing about Genie Plus is now going to be selective. This is like hot off the presses as you're listening to this. It just went into effect. But as we're recording this, it doesn't go into effect until...
Did you say that?
What?
You say that as we were recording this?
Sorry, I did say that. Yeah. But I'm not telling you
after
exactly
you criticize?
I'm not telling you the exact date and time.
I didn't either.
I'm just saying,
I was like, by the time you hear this, you're like, quit giving away, it's not live. Or quit giving
you guys are usually like, we're recording this on a Thursday at whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
No, I'm not. I never said that. Oh, sure. Don't try to get out of it that easy.
This is live. We'll do it live. So, what is it? It's going to be Genie Plus on the June 27th, so they're rolling this out on a Tuesday.
Perfect sense.
Right. So now, I'm not sure how I feel about this, but if you're going to a single park, you can just pick Genie Plus for that park you're going to. I guess as of right now, you can buy it in whatever park you go to. Okay, now that I think about it, is this another way of them figuring out where you're going to go for the future of, like, knowing?
I don't know. My initial feelings of it is it actually is making it a little more fair. Because...
I got to see it in practice a little bit to figure out if it's fair or not.
Look at it this way. Multiple parks is the same price as Magic Kingdom, it appears.
Right.
For the day that it starts.
Right. Well, yeah.
I feel like the multiple parks is probably going to be whatever the highest one is, which is probably almost always going to be Magic Kingdom because it has the most rides for starters. And it currently has Tron, that doesn't really count because that's a individual.
And it also has Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is still individual right now, which is also frustrating to me. I think they should have dropped that one into the regular pool.
The parks that have all the latest stuff, for the most part, are the more expensive. Or the places where you utilize it, or you're actually going to be able to utilize it the most, is more expensive. Because you're going to get your more bang for your buck buying Genie Plus with Magic Kingdom and Hollywood Studios, right?
Yeah. So, for example, I don't think I finished explaining, if anybody who hasn't heard of this, is it's going to be park-specific pricing. This starts June 27th. Multiple parks in this example were $27. Magic Kingdom was $27. Epcot only is down to $18. Hollywood Studios was higher at $24. Animal Kingdom 16. And again, I'm sure all these will vary by the date. I hope that the new standard is not going to be like 27 and it just goes up from there. I feel like this is an excuse for them to charge more for the multi-park one and make it feel more valuable when that's just what it was all along. I guess that's my fear.
How do you buy this? Like, do you have to say up front, I'm going to do multiple parks, and if you don't end up doing it, you just got screwed?
Right.
If it wasn't Magic Kingdom?
Right, we'll figure this out on the 27th for sure, but we're kind of speculating now. But I would say that once you buy it, it'll say, well, do you want multi? Do you want Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, wherever?
Well, our friend Scott Gustin has an example out
on
here
Twitter.
Where I don't know where he got it, but it actually looks like you choose it ahead of time. Based on that.
Right. Yeah, I imagine. What do you mean ahead of time?
Like, okay, so you have to choose multiple parks, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, or Animal Kingdom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she'll have to select it.
You mean when you're buying it. Yeah, when you're buying it. Yeah, yeah.
I imagine that's what are you going to do?
Right, it's going to ask you.
So, you know, you can't just say, like, say, for instance, I guess you still could. I guess in the app, when you're looking at My Day, and you change park, surely it will automatically default to whatever the price is for that park.
Yeah.
But if you decide later, that's what I'm saying. I'm just wondering. If you
decide
later to hop,
are
you going to have to upgrade it and add more or something like that? Or how is that going to work into the system?
So it kind of makes me wonder. So like a good example is we'll obviously have future episodes on all of our kind of trips, but just to give a snippet of it. We went with some folks who bought the ticket that you bought, the one day per
park,
one park per day, the 4 day, whatever, all four parks. And it was easy because we knew we weren't park hopping. So this would have been helpful on those days because it's like, oh, save money by only paying 16 for Animal Kingdom versus paying the 20, I think it was mostly 23, 22, 24, one of the days, whatever. But still, it's a significant savings when you're talking about eight people. So this would have been helpful for that. But as an AP, if you just want to go, you got to decide ahead of time, well, am I going to park hop today? What is like, maybe I will, maybe I won't. So, or are you just stuck buying the multi-park in case you decide to do that?
I found that AP are not the majority of the time.
Yeah.
I didn't hop. I mean, even though I had the ability, it was nice. But the majority of the time, I didn't hop.
I mean, I like the ability
to... You just like having
to,
that freedom, right?
Right. I like to be able to just like...
If you want to.
We'll spend the morning at Hollywood Studios and Skyliner over to Epcot and, you know...
Yeah.
Hang out for a while. I might want to ride Ratatouille. So then it's like, well, I have to make sure I buy the multi or else I'm screwed.
Or stand in line.
Yeah. So again, as Disney simplifies, it really complicates. It seems like it's helpful, but to me, it sounds a little more complicated because...
I think, in a way, it's actually kind of making it fair for the person that is truly devoting their day to one park.
Yeah, I think it's good for the day guest.
Like Animal Kingdom, that $16 is great value, really. I mean, don't have a ton of things you need
it's
it
like
for.
It's like seven rides.
Yeah.
You really only need it for the safari, and of course, you have to pay for Flight of Passage separately.
Right, individually.
So you need it for Navi River, Journey, and Safari. That's about it.
Yeah.
So you're paying $8 for each of those.
Yeah.
Kali can...
It's kind of like you're paying for the guarantee, I guess.
In the summer. Yeah.
Jump,
I mean, Kali, Everest, depending on the time of day, Dinosaur, you can save some time at those, but you don't need it really for anything but Safari and Navi River Journey, and then you have to buy Flight of Passage separately anyway, so...
Which is why it's priced where it is.
Right. Understand.
They know this.
Epcot's a little surprising to me, though. It's not... It's the second cheapest.
It's not surprising to me, because they don't have that many rides that need it for,
at Epcot?
Once again. They don't have that many that need it, is what we're...
Well...
Just like Animal Kingdom. You need it for
just,
Test Track, and that's...
Yeah.
And Frozen. I mean...
Right, well, Test Track,
Ratatouille,
Frozen, Ratatouille, yeah.
Yeah, okay, three attractions. Because Soarin', you could use it, but you don't really need it for...
Yeah, you can always get a Soarin'.
And then, you know, Nemo. I mean, got to make sure you get that lightning lane.
Yeah.
I mean...
And Figment.
Yeah, and Figment.
Spaceship Earth can be helpful depending on the time of day.
Right.
If it's first thing in the morning, everyone just goes there.
I mean, Mission Space is usually a walk-on.
Yeah.
I mean,
for green, especially. If you're going orange, you might want to get one just in case. But
yeah.
So, yeah, it's Epcot is a little bit more valuable, though, because of Ratatouille, Frozen, and Test Track to me. I think it's
helpful. Apparently, Disney thinks it's $2 valuable.
Right. I'm still annoyed about Savage of Mine Train. Take it out of the individual Lightning Lane.
It's in a category now to me where it's not really worth it because, to be honest with you, the last time that I did it, we didn't use a Lightning Lane for it and we didn't stand in line that long. We just went near the end of the night and the line was nowhere near as long as it was advertised.
We ended up paying for it again.
I think the thing with Mine Train, really your best bet is either do it first or last. I mean, that's really,
if you're not first, then do it last.
Pretty much. I mean, you're gonna wait not long either of those scenarios.
Yeah. We did it like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think. It was probably a 100-minute wait or 95-minute wait or something when we got in line, and we waited probably 8 minutes to get on, so.
Yeah.
And that ride, again, is so short that it's like, it is not worth waiting any over 20 minutes for me anymore, so.
Yeah. That's all it ended up being. It was advertised like twice as long, at least, as to what it said, to what it actually was the last time that I waited at the end of the night. You can just kind of tell, you used to really be able to tell by looking at the line how long something was truly going to be, not even looking at what was posted. Now it's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, it's a little bit more difficult, isn't it? These days.
Because they do these little tricks or whatever to make everybody wait the same amount of time, no matter what time of year, no matter how busy it is.
Yeah.
All that stuff. It doesn't seem to matter how busy the parks actually are. They're going to find a way to make you wait the same as if it were busy.
Yeah.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Everybody gets the same
experience. I can't figure that out. They're trying to make everybody get the same experience.
Right.
Just crazy to me.
But anyway. I will say, even waiting a long time for certain things, just my experience at the Six Flags water park, the lines just don't move. God, Six Flags is
the
worst.
At Whitewater?
Well, Six Flags too. It was just like the loading process.
Both?
Well, no, I'm just talking about my experience at Six Flags last year. It was just like, God, it was painfully slow how they loaded.
It can be.
It was like, oh, there's no wait. We'll be in and out here in 5 minutes. And it's like 20 minutes later, they're still trying to buckle everybody in. And it's just like, good Lord. Disney is like so much more efficient when it comes to churning people through the ride. But anyway.
They were even better back when they used to make high-capacity rides.
Right, yeah. They used to like really have. Speaking of high-capacity, we did Carousel of Progress recently. And, man, that can hold a lot of people.
It can.
There you go. I mean, there's not a lot in there, but boy, it could churn out. What
it could if it needed to.
3,000 people an hour or something like that back when
they could if that many people would actually go see it.
Yes, right, exactly. But like Pirates of Disneyland was what, 3,000 people an hour somewhere in there? I mean, they could churn so many people. Haunted Mansion has a pretty big one, or did. I don't know if it still does, but I mean, when it runs.
That's going to say smoothly. But in the frequent stops.
Although, I gotta say, I mean, again, I'm spoiling some of the trip, but I'll probably
say, everything,
forget these details.
I've been restraining myself, like, this entire conversation, because there's so many things I could have interjected.
But yeah. We'll go, like, more in-depth on it, but I was gonna ask you about Tron. We don't have to go into too much detail, but did you do Virtual Queue, Lightning Lane, or both? Or
Virtual Queue.
So what did you think about the virtual queue experience? Was it slow? Did you hate it? Did you love it?
That was fine. It was fine in my experience, actually.
Yeah.
See, I was going to really try and get a good boarding group, and then I didn't try, and still ended up getting one too early to almost miss it.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, when you say that, that's funny. Like the last day, we stayed an extra day on my trip, and I was like, okay, I really want to get like a mid-afternoon boarding group, but I don't know how to like. So I
accomplished this right.
I kind of hesitated, like I was like, okay, I don't want to push it too fast. I want to hesitate and hope that I still get a group. And I did. I gave it an extra little, like, beat before I tried to join. And I ended up with group 94. And that ended up being perfect because I showed up at, like, I think it was called at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 2:33, somewhere in there. I forgot when I showed up, actually.
I will say...
perfect timing.
I know Jason has said something about the virtual queue, how there's still a pretty good wait most of the time that he's done it.
Yeah.
I really feel like the trick to the virtual queue is go when there's only about, because we did this by, not on purpose, but when there is less than 10 minutes left in your window.
Yeah.
I think the queue is much shorter because they haven't started, think about it, they haven't started letting the next group in just yet. You're at the tail end of your window, and most of the people who are trying to get there have already gotten there.
Yeah, most people will try to rush there as fast as they can, as soon as their group's called, yeah.
I think you have a better chance of waiting less to get on it if you wait until the end of your window. Since you've had Tron, have you gone near the end of your window, like almost when it expired?
Yes, the first time... trying to think. So first time we did virtual queue,
I'm just saying I could be wrong. I could be wrong because that was my experience. I just kind of assumed that based on my experience, right?
Yeah. So. Well, I'll say this trip, I had two experiences with it, and the better experience was that last day when I did it in the afternoon. It was also right after a thunderstorm blew through, like within 30 minutes to an hour after a huge storm blew through. We got there and walked in, and it was much shorter than the two nights before, or one night before, whatever it was, two nights before, when we did the extra hours for Deluxe Resort Guest thing, and it was a longer wait. It was a way longer wait than the next day. So it's like everybody wanted to do Tron during the things, the extra hours. So we waited probably... almost an hour, felt like, that night. The line was so long outside before you could even check in. And then, you know, you go through that little outdoor area, and then you go through the indoor area, and then that horrible room with the lady goes, "There are winners, and there are losers. Who are you?" And you hear that like 20 times. It drives you insane.
Yeah.
Then you go to the lockers, and then you go to the loading area where it takes forever because they can't figure... they have trouble pairing all these giant groups into twos, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
You know what? That's okay. One thing that when I did this queue... see, we actually got to go... all right, getting in at the last... almost the last minute. Okay, so we walk through. We get up to the... we almost walked straight to the first tap-in or whatever, I guess.
Right.
Like, almost immediately. And then...
I mean, oh, wow, okay, yeah. See, that's... both times I had to wait... the second time I waited maybe 2-3 minutes before you get to the tap-in. There, during the evening hours, it was like 10 minutes before we got to the tap-in.
So we tapped in there, and then... I think it was just two rows on that that moved. It was constantly moving, seemed like, and then we're inside.
Yeah.
I mean, we waited like 10 minutes, I'm not kidding. We waited like 10 minutes, period.
Wow.
To get to, that was to get to the, you know, that where you sign in to the World of Tron or whatever when you get.
Oh, the cool holding room.
Yeah, yeah.
Where with the magic window.
Yeah, the magic window.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny, though, is when we're walking the line, Pablo had said, made a comment to Lynn. He said something about, it's like, you haven't seen the new movie? I was like, yeah, the new movie. Was that a decade ago? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, literally.
It really was. It was 2011.
Over
2011. I was like, it's 12 years this year since that movie's been out. So the new movie, I guess that is new compared to 40 years, but.
I mean, that is the music they play, obviously, is the Daft Punk stuff.
Yeah.
That movie.
And it also, the cycles look like the new ones, not the old ones.
Right.
So
just to clarify, if anybody's listening about that, the reason we're talking about this, the boarding group window, is because they're really strict at Tron about that hour window. You probably have some time on either, like few minutes on either end of it, but They're very strict.
Both of the boarding groups that they have currently give you you got to return by this time.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Guardians, they don't care, though. And literally, we did that, too, where we had an early boarding group. And we showed up at night and rode it. And they were like, oh, we're more forgiving here than Tron. So
because it's been out for a year. That's probably why.
Probably. But even still, like a year ago, they
didn't care. They're probably about to do away with boarding groups, to be honest with you, although.
Right. Looks that way. Possible.
I don't really know how that's going to work, just out of recent experiences that I'll discuss in a later episode.
Yeah. Although, yeah, we did do Guardians as well, and Guardians got broke down at one point while we were in the virtual queue line.
Yeah.
So we ended up waiting like 40 minutes with the breakdown.
Yeah.
Wasn't terrible, but Guardians moves so much better overall than Tron. But Tron's not bad. I mean, it's not terrible. It's just it's going to be 30 minutes, I would say, on average, probably for the virtual queue line. So probably 40 more likely.
As you can see, this news episode is not going as planned because we so badly want to talk about our trips, apparently.
I know. Well, they're
trying to lean toward them.
You know, like, every time we do these, like, trip episodes, like, they get really lengthy and we end up throwing way too much in there anyway, so. Or we forget stuff and then we talk about it later, so we might as well throw in
if we do it too long. I will say this, the experiences I had with the monorail were actually rather pleasant.
Yeah.
It didn't smell bad or anything.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good.
I got monorail silver both times that they were Magic Kingdom, I think.
Wow. So even later in the day, it wasn't smelly?
No, it wasn't.
Nice.
Yeah. My theory most of the time that works out with the monorails is, you know, especially at Magic Kingdom, like, no one wants to walk any further than they have to, like, when you're leaving there. So I always go to the end, that furthest one away.
Right. And
there's usually, like, not many people in there, but it wasn't the case this time. We had to walk a little bit to find one, but...
Yeah, it feels like people are creatures of habit, and they just sort of go with the flow, and everyone just sort of...
Like it's in the middle.
Goes in the middle, yeah. It's like follow the crowd versus if you just go on the ends or depends on...
See, the thing is, usually the end closest to the front or the direction it's going still has more people there. If you go to the back, basically, that's usually your best bet most of the time.
You mean at Magic Kingdom Station in particular?
At Magic Kingdom Station.
Yeah.
Because that left side, like if you go left, it's actually a little longer... Just the way the station's set up, then they go
on the
right side. You're
talking resort or express?
Resort. I'm sorry, resort side.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's why I was making sure. Yeah.
Because we had to get back to the Poly that day.
Oh, I see. Okay. Speaking of not breaking down, though, Haunted Mansion did not break down on me the time we wrote it. So that was something.
To be fair, it doesn't really break down when those
things stops, yeah. Usually it's someone who needs more time to load or unload.
Needs assistance.
It's usually that kind of thing.
That's the majority of those stops.
Yeah. But we had none of those that night. It was that the late night? I think it was the extra hours. That's probably why.
There you go.
It was the extra hours.
Again, talking about the trip.
I know. There's so much to talk about that we're never going to cover it all. So we might as well throw in some stuff.
So,
and hopefully we don't repeat ourselves too much.
Hopefully we don't.
Oh, speaking of Tron, I did want to throw this in. Were you there when they still had the dumplings at the Tron snack booth?
If they were there, I didn't notice them.
Because they're gone now.
Are they? Were they that good?
Energy Bites. Jason loved them. They were good. I thought they were actually a cool snack. Unique snack. They were just okay, though. But
see, we were in the situation where we had to have someone stay with the kids while we went on.
Oh, okay.
So.
Gotcha.
Mandalay didn't go. She was actually a little bit concerned with her calves or whatever, I think, as far as to fitting on it. Yeah.
Well, my son is 48 inches on the dot. Like, he is like, his head is barely touching the bar, and of course they measure him three times to make sure. My 9-year-old is like over 5 feet tall already. But my five-year-old is just barely tall enough, as I said, barely. But he loves it. Like, he gets a little nervous about the launch, but once we get going, he's like, he thinks it's great. So he rode it 3 times, 4 times, whatever. How many times he's done it now? 4 times. So
speaking of which, on this trip, we didn't go over to space to measure to see if Livy was tall enough. But when, the day we were at Animal Kingdom, she was tall enough for the first thing she was tall enough for Flight of Passage. So she would have been tall enough for space. Mm. And so thus she was also tall enough for Everest.
Nice.
And she's the not quite 5 year old.
Yeah. Did she ride Everest?
She was tall enough. She
nice.
Did.
She like it?
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah.
That is cool.
Again, better save for the trip
episode.
Yes,
we'll save it. Yeah, let's not do it all. But anyway, yeah, I wanted to throw that in about the Energy Bites snack card because they already dropped the food items. Those dumplings were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Now they just have, like, drinks, I think. That's it, so.
Plushies. You feel like with the way Tron is designed, that they're not going to stay on the boarding group. They're going to stay on the boarding groups probably not as long as they have with Guardians. Because they have designed it with a long queue in mind already from the looks of it.
Yeah, I mean, that pathway is long, yeah.
Yeah. They have designed it with the ability to run that queue for pretty good ways if need be.
Right.
Although, based on the load time and the actual length of the ride, it may not have a very long queue, truthfully, as long as it operates.
I mean, so, they were churning people out pretty quick. It was moving much more efficiently this time than back in April when they did it.
But think about it. It's kind of like Rockin' has a decent amount of queue in it, but when you think about it, it's really not that much. It's not that long of a,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Even if you filled everything up out there, it's still not, doesn't seem like it's a great distance of
right.
queue.
Yeah, they have several, like the single rider line, the lightning lane line, and then the regular line, and then they all end up merging, you know, at some point, and then
mm-hmm.
that loading area is not that long of a loading area after the pre-show. So, yeah, it's not a big, super big queue. Like, Guardians is a pretty big queue inside, but it's the outdoor area.
Nothing outside.
Now looks like they're prepping for the outdoor area, but off to the side of the building. So I don't know.
Possibly. They used to have, although I'm sure it's been an extremely long time since they actually used it, but they had outdoor, like, I guess, lines for Energy back in the day. If you can look back and find pictures of that, I would imagine they would just do it similar to that, I would think.
Yeah.
But I don't know why it has to go on the side of the building, though.
Well, I guess there's a whole courtyard area in the front. They want to keep it photogenic.
Maybe.
You can get some really cool photos of the entry.
But I mean, Energy back in the day.
Yeah.
I remember seeing its outdoor queue. It was, they managed to keep it in, of course, it was designed slightly differently, but they managed to keep it inside of the, whatever you want to call that fountain area where they now have the Zendarian ship instead
right.
of the sign for the attraction.
Yeah. I think they could easily go ahead and drop the virtual queue.
Yes. Again, I'll talk about another experience later.
Yes.
Okay. So, in the trip.
So we'll tease more than.
So it's debatable is all I'll
say.
Okay.
Let's tease that.
It's debatable.
Like I said, I did get stuck in the virtual queue for a while, but that was because it broke down. So anyway.
So since we're doing a little bit of news and we were talking about Genie Plus is what got this started, it doesn't look like the Reflections Resort is totally gone, right?
It's not completely dead in the water.
It looks like it's, right, yeah. It says they file an extension on the permit.
Yeah.
For Reflections, a Disney Lakeside Lodge.
This, to me, says Iger might be saying, is it worth the investment again? He might be relooking at it, because this probably started under him, right? And then Chapek was maybe the one that pulled the plug on it. So now Iger might be plugging it back in.
I don't think it has anything to do with who was CEO as much as it had to do with COVID.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
But Chapek was CEO during COVID, so maybe that was why.
Right. Most of it. Yeah, he was given the reins during COVID.
Because it says, I know, I'm trying to think back on the timeline. It was announced in 2018, or was it announced at D23? I don't remember. Was that?
It all blurs together
right
now.
I know they talked about it at some point during D23, I thought, but. So then it says, and they started clearing the land, and they covered up, you know, river country, and they had just about started to, like, go vertical, or started, like, construction when COVID hit.
Yeah.
They're building that tower at Polynesian, which I know some people said, oh, maybe they pulled some of the plans from Reflections and put it here, because the concept art looks similar, but I think that's just the design, whoever is designing the new hotels are, they all look the same. So,
yeah, it's possible. You know, speaking of that, since you brought it up,
mm-hmm.
haven't actually seen the construction, like, since they've gotten it on up there in person.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be as bad as I originally thought, just because when I see the height, it's not that far off. It might be just slightly taller than the tallest point of the ceremonial house.
Right. Yeah.
It's not that much taller than it. I was thinking that was going to be like the same size as the Bay Lake Tower or something, the way they originally had it looking. But it's not going to be that bad. It's obviously going to be the tallest thing, the most, you know, what you can see when you look at Poly, right? More so than the rest of it. Instead of, like, no longer the ceremonial house is the focal point, I would say.
I forget. Is it 10 stories? 9 to 8? 9, 10, somewhere in there.
I'm not 100% sure. This was just based on my site, because I actually just happened to be sitting in the parking lot there, and I was looking at the difference between that height and the ceremonial house height. And I was like, you know what? It's not as bad as I originally thought. So maybe there's hope there.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell it's basically another tower. It looks similar to kind of all the other towers they've done recently. But it will blend in with all the others eventually. So I'm excited for it in the sense that it's more theme park view type rooms, which I really like, even though they're so dang expensive.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to stay at more of them. But, yeah, it's going to look nice, and they're going to do it well. So back to the Reflections thing, I wouldn't be surprised if they're dusting off the plans and investing again, because DVC seems to be a steady flow of income for them.
Well, it's definitely a selling point for them right now, but is it? I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
I think it'll work out. So is Reflections coming back? I don't know.
We'll see.
We shall see. Maybe they're also thinking in terms of this Central Florida tourism oversight thing, and this is a plan that had already been approved and all the stuff was already been going. So maybe it's something they can do in the short term, revive it.
Or maybe they got to the point where they're like, you know, we could really use more rehab centers.
Right. Exactly. Maybe this is the prison they were talking about.
Instead of prison, they're doing rehab facility. That was originally on the plan.
Their answer to that.
And now for a quick commercial break.
Ah, teaching her how to drive. But Dad, why not use Greenlight to help her save for her own car? Mowing lawns and getting paid. She'll go from washing your car to flexing with her own. How? With Greenlight, the money app for families. Together, you can navigate the world of earning, saving, and investing. Because when you teach her to be smart about money, she'll go far. Invest in your best investment. Sign up today at greenlight.com.
This episode is also sponsored by Zencastr. We use Zencastr for traveling with a mouse, and we really enjoy how easy and user-friendly it is. You can record up to 4K video and high-quality audio, and they have backups, so you never have to worry about losing any of your audio. Go to Zencastr.com and use the promo code TWTM and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience we do for all of our podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. with Zencastr.
And now, back to the show.
So, this is something I experienced also on our trip, but this is just, this is in a story in recent.
What is it?
Talking about dinosaur, right?
Oh, yes. So, I experienced this too. We rode dinosaur.
But, yeah, the attraction continues to struggle.
Oh, gosh, it was bad.
I'm like, it has been given no love whatsoever. I was like, I would rather them just go ahead and change it than see it die this slow death that it's dying right now.
Nothing worked. Almost nothing was working. It was sad how bad it was to me.
They've already taken out Primeval Whirl.
Yeah.
Triceratops Spin is not exactly a draw. Neither is the pay-as-you-play games.
Right.
Over there.
Yes, which is so dumb.
Don't you really got to feel bad for the cast members who have to work those right now?
Yes, anyway. And nobody plays those games. Like five people all day play them,
So anyway, I really wanted to do Dinosaur because Libby was tall enough now, and then she just barely missed it the last time, and I was like,
oh, man.
Taking it hard on it, though, I'm like, there's so many things not working.
It was so bad.
Or the things that are working are not fluid, nowhere close to fluid like as it was once before.
It was so bad. I was, we had taken, some friends who had, either they had not ridden it since like 99 or 2000 or something like that, or they hadn't ridden it at all. And you go in, the first scene is like a motionless dinosaur that's eating another dinosaur.
Right. That thing hasn't worked, it seemed like, consistently and forever.
Nothing. Didn't move at all. And you're like, several other ones, you're just like, they're not moving. Like, nothing's working.
I just, to go back and see how it looked in the original, right, the beginning, versus what it looks like now.
Yeah.
And, right there at the beginning, there's one of those things they say, one of the dinosaurs they introduce is a raptor, right?
Right.
Even though it still moved here, I went back and looked at its early motions. It was way more fluid. I mean, it didn't move much still, but you could tell a big difference between how it moved then versus now. I mean, the animatronics have just, they need love, and they're not going to get it because they obviously plan on changing it to something.
I think it shows that, they're just not putting any effort into it at all.
It totally reminds me of Splash in its last days. Or years, or whatever it was.
Right.
Because they did very little when they
just kind of kept the bare minimum going.
Yeah, they did very little. And then Dinosaur, and the very
first... It's below the bare minimum.
When you see the first Carnosaur, when he's supposed to be introduced for the first time, he was not working.
That wasn't... It wasn't working for me either. So that just shows you what was a week apart. They didn't do anything to even try to get it working.
Yeah.
Again. Nothing.
And the one that runs, he actually moved, but I just feel like he was still not what he once was either because I couldn't even see him hardly.
Right. I don't even remember if it was moving when I did it. It was so bad.
I feel like
though.
There used to be better lighting on it. I think they're not even being all that concerned with that.
It's
either.
So dark. They just make it darker so you can't see anything.
Can't see how bad the animatronics are.
Yeah.
Like, even the one near the end that does move, they take your picture, he looked pathetic. Yeah. The movements look pathetic compared to what it once was.
Yeah.
Like, he's just in bad shape, and even the very last one was, I guess it was still pretty good.
Yeah. They kind of used strobe light effect again, too, didn't they? They always do that? I guess they did, but...
I think they've always used that, though, to some degree. He still moves, but he's not Yeti. He's not Disco Carnosaur.
Right. I just remember, Jason and I kept looking at each other like, ooh, this is bad. Like, nothing's working. This is really bad.
Oh, yeah.
But our friends still, enjoyed it. It just, that was not a highlight of their day by any means.
Like, okay, you just being jerked around in the dark. Here, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all.
Pretty
much all you did.
You're just, moving around.
If you like a rough Jeep ride in the dark, here we go.
Yeah, it just... The whole, suspense of the ride.
It's sad,
of it, it just didn't work. It's not working right now,
I felt disappointed, actually, when I went on there. I was like...
Yeah.
I was like, I used to actually get some sense of enjoyment out of this ride.
Right.
I was like, what was this? That's kind of what I felt like when it was all said and done.
Yeah, the only thing I enjoy doing now is kind of doing something silly for the picture, but that's it. Yeah. Even the picture, although it's funny, I should show you the picture. The picture, my head is cut off in the picture.
Oh,
I was
wow.
in the back row.
Even
back.
The camera's not working yet. Not...
Right. Exactly. I was in the far back and I was like trying to do this. And like, you only see like this much of my head. Anyway.
Yeah.
Crazy. I'll put it in our thing so you can see it. It's like, I was like, really? Can't even get my face in the picture.
Yeah.
I was in the back row. So anyway, whatevs. Yeah. It's sad. Animal Kingdom in general was not, I don't know. It just feels like they need more stuff to do besides, I mean, the zoo part is helpful, but.
Yeah, it's meant to be, and, you know, their whole commercial back in the day was not a zoo.
Yeah.
One thing I really like, and I wish they would reconsider doing something with, especially since Rivers of Light didn't work out, is utilizing the waterway, like the boats. Even if it's just for transportation means, because it had more than one place to get off on.
Right.
Like just advertise it as a transportation type of means, and you can make it an attraction and a transportation, which is kind of what they were aiming for originally, but it just, they were trying to make it a biological attraction for the most part, and animals don't always cooperate.
Right.
So, yeah.
But... Yeah, it could probably be a faster way to not have to walk from Pandora to Africa or Asia. You can just kind of go.
Yeah, I can't remember how many docks they had, but.
Yeah, I don't remember either, but I just remember you went around the whole park, essentially.
I mean, it hadn't worked in over 20 years.
Yeah.
So.
Crazy. Well, yeah, they could do so much more with Animal Kingdom. Even Pandora, I would say, though, because they closed Animal Kingdom so early, I don't think they care about Pandora at night anymore. They don't give a crap about, like, the paths that are supposed to be glowing or whatever, you know, they don't care.
Well, Pandora, though, that's one of the areas when I go to and I go in, it's still just so visually stunning. It's just, it's very well-themed.
Yeah, it
very,
is. It just...
Very immersive. Just seeing it at night would be, I mean, it is cool to see it at night, and you're only really going to get that experience if you're there in, like, December with the current hours.
Even if, that's it.
Yeah.
So I don't think they are putting much effort into it anymore.
Well, they were trying to make it a nighttime park. So I guess this means you don't really get to see ever, or has it, when's the last time they got to do the show for the tree?
The projection show.
Yeah.
I feel like in the wintertime they showed
That's about it, right? That's the only time you're going to be able to see it.
Where it's dark enough, yeah.
So.
I don't know. I just feel like Animal Kingdom, they're just limping around right now. They're not really doing much with it.
And again, I like sticking with the biological theme, having it be about animals and environment and all that, you know, sort of theme. I think they can still stick with that. And as I've mentioned plenty of times before, to this day, it does still have the last non-IP attraction at this point to be created. So,
right. It does, Everest, yeah. I mean, when we went to Animal Kingdom, it was like a 4.5 hours and we were done. I mean, and we did everything. We did Flight of Passage, Navi, the safari, Kali,
you probably didn't
Everest,
do all of the animal dinosaur attractions.
No, we didn't do actually. Yeah, we did a few of the, like, we looked around at some of the animals, but not much. Like the safari was the main draw.
Like you didn't do Flights of Wonder.
No, and none of the shows. We didn't do Lion King or Nemo.
Yeah, so you did rides.
Didn't do Tough to Be a Bug, but yeah, as far as rides, of course, we didn't do Triceratops Spin either, but.
We didn't do Tough to Be a Bug either. I mean, it's kind of lost its...
Yeah. I mean, again, it's just like nobody really wants to do a 3D show anymore.
We did do one on our trip. Which one do you think it was?
At Disney?
Yeah.
Muppets?
Yep, it was Muppets.
Yeah. Let's say it's
kind
of... Because
Muppets is still entertaining, actually.
Yeah.
It's still fun to do every time.
It is, yeah. It's just because it's the Muppets. It's always entertaining.
But also at Hollywood Studios, it's a nice place to get cooled off on a hot day.
Yeah,
it's like the only
place.
Right,
I'm going to say there's not a lot of places to cool off there.
you know,
inside a baseline, if you can get that one table
or yeah.
a small table inside.
Well, I mean, they have a lot of attractions with outdoors. If you think of Toy Story Land, like you're standing outside a good bit. Swirling yeah. Saucers and Slinky Dog are both, you know, the additions they really made to Toy Story Mania, right? Attraction one,
right?
Are both stand out in the sun,
right?
Or at least in the hot air. You know, even if you do have shade at some point.
Right, it's still hot when it's yeah. 90 degrees outside, yeah.
If you're actually standing in the main queue for a rise, then that's also mostly outdoors.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't go to Muppets anymore. At least not that I've seen, or not when I was there.
Hmm.
I think the queue's more manageable than it once was.
Did you make it over to Den of Destiny?
See, it didn't. I forgot about it, actually.
Okay.
Or was it even open at that point? Was it?
That's a good question. I think it was.
I know it was. Maybe it was. I can't remember what day it opened.
Right. That's a good question. It may not have been. But it's basically right next to the primetime.
Yeah, which we did go there. Which we'll cover that, too.
Right. Interesting. But I liked it. I like that they're doing that. I like the idea of the pop-up. I mean there was nobody there, though. That was the thing. It's like middle of the day.
Yeah,
it was like five people that wandered over there to go in, so it didn't seem to be, maybe not a lot of people know about it yet, but I liked the drink offerings they had.
Yeah,
and the mild theming they had was nice.
Well, it's not a very big space.
Yeah, you basically just walk in, order it, and then they have a few standing tables outside. You can stand there and
yeah,
have your
I remember
drink.
The store right there.
Yeah,
isn't this just temporarily changed anyway? Or
yeah,
do they think
it's
they
not
might?
Gonna, I think they may have it through July or something. It's not long.
You're not gonna keep it. Not likely, unless it becomes a hit. Then they'll probably keep it. Unless they have
doesn't
a drink.
Doesn't look like it will become
yeah.
a hit.
Right. Unless they have
the one I saw.
Unless they have some sort of drink that everybody starts talking about. So
I did like that. Was it Weathered Fedora? I thought that was a good drink. But
where are they coming? Anyway. They're trying to name it similar to like they do over at the Hangar.
Right, Jacques Lindsay's.
Yeah.
Jason thought it was too sweet, of course, but I like that one. Anyway, let's see. Any other news that we want to talk about?
There apparently has been a casting call for a role that appears to be Bruno. That's what it's suspected to be.
Is this for the Halloween party, you think?
I don't know, honestly, but it could be. That would be interesting.
He might be added to like a stage show or something.
I'm trying to wonder why specifically Bruno, because even though the song itself was popular, I didn't think the character really had a ton of time in the movie. So,
but a lot of people love the song We Don't Talk About Bruno, so everyone knows Bruno. Even though
I guess that's the reason.
Maybe.
Apparently they're asking for someone 5'6" to 5'9", which I think is contradictory to the song. Because he has a 7-foot frame and rats along his back, so
that's gonna be hard to find someone with a 7-foot frame.
Even though he didn't really have a 7-foot frame, so maybe that's the reason why.
Probably. Also, speaking of the casting thing, it reminded me of we went and met the new Ariel, the live action Ariel, meet and greet.
Yes,
that was fun.
Had you seen the movie yet?
I haven't. My oldest did.
Well, okay.
He saw it. He saw the movie.
Okay. I'm just wondering if he told her whether or not you saw her movie. No.
She'd be like, what? What movie? She was very in character. It was cute. But yeah, they liked it. It was good. It was very good. It was a very good meet and greet, actually.
Good.
I think we waited probably 25 minutes or so. 30 minutes, maybe, the most.
We didn't meet anybody this time.
No character. I think that may have been the only one. We may have met one or two characters.
Other than character breakfast, we did.
Right, which we'll talk about, right?
Another teaser.
But speaking of characters, did you see this Indiana Jones at Disneyland is going to be hanging around Adventureland?
Yeah. Should be
Although
interesting.
The actor that they got for the promo video, I'm like, is supposed to be like Indiana Jones?
Maybe.
It's some dude in a hat. It's like, sorry, I know.
I don't know how you are. You going to say something about how he talks next? Whatever.
Right. It's not Harrison Ford's voice.
No,
but for example, Jack Sparrow was walking around at Magic Kingdom, and I was like, dude, this guy, he's, you know, again,
pretty good.
He looked really good. The one at Disneyland, you know, they always get probably the better actors there, but this guy was good. Like, he looked the part. He really fit the, you know, character.
Most of the Jack Sparrows that I've seen at Disney, period, have been pretty good.
Pretty good,
right? The one on the cruise lines are usually been good.
Right. And they probably get better actors in Disney World, too. But anyway.
The cruise line?
Yes, they probably can. But still, the guy that's, it's like a really young guy, and I'm like, okay, like, I don't know. I'm just like, couldn't they have found, like, a little bit, I don't know. It didn't feel close enough to me to be like, oh, that would be a fun to go see. You know, he looked kind of short too to me. But anyway,
did you experience running into like a lot of discounted 50th merchandise? Like they're just giving it away almost.
I actually don't remember seeing a ton of 50th though. When we left, the Flower and Garden merch had just gone on deep discount, the Flower and Garden stuff, since it's winding down.
Speaking of which, you know how they have the 100 years or whatever they're calling this?
Yes, the 100-year celebration of the Walt Disney Company. Yeah.
I went back and I looked because I came across before we left. I should have actually taken it with me one day, but a poncho. The 100 Years of Magic back in 2001. I'm like, this looks exactly like the same, like everything.
Really?
The logo. It's like it looks almost exactly the same.
You had a poncho that still worked, like still was, like didn't fall apart or anything?
Apparently,
20 years.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's more impressive.
They always had the yellow ones, right, back in the day. They don't do that anymore. Yeah. I'll take a picture of the logo and put it in like on our Instagram or something.
Yeah.
Show it.
That would be cool because we bought a poncho because it rained a lot when we were there, and my son immediately, there's like a huge rip in it now, so I'm like, I didn't last but 2 days.
Well, I think the ponchos from 20 years ago were also built out of a little different material than the ones they give now.
What I'm saying is like everything is like super cheaply made right now. I'm just, and for the most part, I am very disappointed in the merch. Like, it just isn't very good quality stuff anymore.
I have normally, like, just taken these cheap, like, throwaway ponchos, like, used once type things, whether it's just in case, but I didn't bring any this time. Yeah. But I ended up not, it literally did not rain a drop on us any day until the last day that we were in a park. Nothing. And even then, it was while we were already inside somewhere. The only thing that got wet was the stroller we got.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I had a minivan driver tell me that they were in a pretty moderate drought up until the week showed up, and it rained quite a bit. There was one day where it rained a ton in the morning, and then it cleared up later in the day, but most of the days it rained a good amount in the afternoon to early evening, off and on.
Yeah.
But we got around it for the most part. It wasn't that unmanageable.
We ran into a storm the day we were leaving.
Yeah.
To come back. So that Saturday, excuse me.
Right. And then we showed up the next day we came.
You showed up on Sunday? Oh, yeah, that's right. Jason came down the same day we were leaving.
Well, he came down Saturday. Yeah,
he came down the same day.
We came down Sunday. It rained some on Monday. It rained a lot. Was Monday the day it rained a lot in the morning? I don't remember. Anyway.
They were talking about
one morning rained a lot.
We're talking about the less significant
aspects
of our trip in this so-called news episode, right?
Right. But just to tease this, and I guess we'll talk some about it, but it's kind of a minor detail now. We stayed at Treehouse Villas at Saratoga, and we wanted to take the boat to Disney Springs, but the water level was too low, and they had closed the boat. But the last day we were at the Treehouse Villas, the boats were not necessarily running, but they were testing them out because we saw them on the water. We could hear them going by our treehouse. And we were like, of course, the day we leave, that's when we'll open it back up again.
What about the boat?
I don't know if they ever... Right. Exactly. I don't know if they ever reopened them officially or not. I didn't hear that, but it looked like they had gotten enough rain to where they could reopen them. But
well, I hope they have by now.
That was sad.
It
rained a lot this week.
Yeah.
Here's a quick update on the news story.
Breaking news.
4th of July. Did you guys see that? Did you guys hear about this?
I don't know, Jay.
Really, it's the... So the 4th of July concert in the sky will be July...
That'll be impressive.
Oh. 3rd and 4th at 9:20 p.m. So those two nights you won't get happily ever after. It'll just be the 4th of July fireworks.
Which will just be Fantasy in the Sky from 30 years ago.
Right, exactly. And they'll have DJs throughout the park, but they're open till 1 a.m. on 4th of July and midnight on the 3rd, so...
Okay.
Extra hours. And then Epcot will have, they're just open from 9 to 9, but they have fireworks called the Heartbeat of Freedom. It's just a finale on top of Epcot forever.
So next year, are they going to bring back the whole 24 hours on Memorial Day thing they did several years ago?
I doubt they'll want
to probably ever do that again.
Yeah, probably not. I have to have enough cast members to work it.
They did it for like 2 or 3 years in a row, though, right? If I remember right.
Yeah, I remember. It was several. It's looks like they have some special 4th of July, like, food items, but meh. Nothing noteworthy. But they're available June 27th through July 4th.
Speaking of which, I originally had talked about on our trip when the report's coming up. I'll just go ahead and get this part out of the way.
Yeah.
We originally were going to do a Universal trip, and then that changed, and then Universal ended up getting cut out altogether, so...
Oh, so you didn't get to go.
I didn't even go at all, yeah.
Oh, well.
I plan on doing it sometime in the near future, especially with Nintendo World opening up.
Oh, yeah. Well, so, I mean, I'll definitely go.
But, yeah, it just didn't... there wasn't enough time, I guess, for all things. Even staying 6 nights.
Oosh, wow.
That's hard to say.
Yeah.
But
it's amazing to me how you, no matter what you, how quickly you get through things and you do things, there's always something you'll miss. Like, you can't ever get it all in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In a week.
Oh, and the thing of it is the way it works now is if you, like, screw something up plan-wise or everything, your whole day can be shot sometimes. So.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad in a way that it has to be that way, but, you know. It is what it is.
And I'll tease this for episode as like trip reports.
But this is a teaser episode. This is an hour long preview episode of
right. This is just because Jason's not available to.
Right, so we got to have something available.
But I extended my trip an extra day and kind of used that 2 extra days essentially. And we took a much more gentle, like, approach where
right.
We just hung out. We slowed things down. We did 1 or 2 rides tops every day. And even the last day, we didn't do any rides. And decided at the last minute, I just wanted to go to Hollywood Studios just to have lunch. And that was it. But it was such a more enjoyable, relaxing time.
Yeah. You know, I kind of mentioned to my wife, I was like, I think I'd mentioned it to you in the chat very briefly, but I was like, it'd kind of be nice to pick a deluxe resort that has quite a few things, amenities to do, and just kind of like do mainly a resort stay, but maybe go over to the parks for 1 or 2 things or take a more of a leisure approach to the park instead of trying to see what all you can get done. Just pick out maybe 3 things. Like, I want to do these 3 things. Yeah. And then the rest is just, whatever.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I think it would be.
Then mostly stay at the resort and do things at the resort. Like the recreational stuff at the resort, at the pool, get one with a good pool, like Yacht Club or Beach Club or, something like that. Or even Poly.
Saratoga has great pools. I'll mention that.
Yeah.
But yeah, of course, Poly... Wilderness Lodge, I wasn't overly impressed with the pools there, but I do love that resort. So
the only pool I think I've ever been around as the main pool at the Wilderness Lodge, truthfully.
Yeah. The kids love a good slide, and so that slide is not anything to write home about.
Do they even have one there? I don't remember.
It's a tiny slide, yeah. They do have one, but it's not much to write home about. The other deluxe resorts have far better slides.
Yeah. Tell you what, the splash pad over at Poly is among the best, really.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've spent much time in it.
Not in the splash pad, no. Grand Floridian's got a good one.
The Caribbean has a good one, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right.
We'll wrap it up and say that if you would like to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, you can do so at TWTM Podcast. We also have a Spreadshirt store in which you can buy your exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast.
And you can find links to that and more on our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. And you can email us podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And if you'd like to have assistance with your next trip, you can use our travel agent friend. Her info is also on our website. So for John, my name is Adam, and this has been Traveling with the Mouse. And we hope you will join us on our next trip.